Hi, if you record your name and reason for calling, I'll see if this person is available.
Hi, my name is Natalie. I'm calling from MMA Legal.
Hello?
Hi, is this Tony?
Yes.
Hi, Tony. It's Natalie calling from MMA Legal. For compliance reasons, can you confirm your date of birth and your address, please?
Yep, it's 11/12/1991, and my address is Crucial Place, Castle Park, KA129NG.
Lovely. And please make you aware that during the call, if you disclose anything that's safeguarding, obviously I'd need to make that referral. I would speak to you and explain what that is and why, and also that we record calls for compliance reasons. Are you happy to proceed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so today's call is about gathering some more information to record the impact of your time and care of your application for Scottish Redress. So what age did you go into care?
I was 11.
And do you remember the county that you lived in?
What, when I was fostered?
Yeah, when you went into care, age 11.
So was it North Ayrshire? It was in Irvine.
North Ayrshire. And do you remember, is that the local authority as well, North Ayrshire?
Yeah.
Yeah. And were you known by any other names? I've got no other, like, nicknames or different surname or anything.
So my maiden surname is Tony Cullen, and now I'm Tony McAllister, but I'm not actually... I'm separated, but I'm not divorced, so it's still Tony McAllister, but I was known as Tony Marie Cullen.
Okay, let me just write that down. Maiden name was... Okay, did they use any nicknames or anything?
Nah.
Cool. So care settings, all I've got down is foster care, Glasgow Council, between 2002 to 2006. Do you remember if it was...
Well, if it was 2002, I might have been 10 when I went into foster care then, not 11.
Ah, right, okay.
So, I'm sorry, I'm a bit confusing.
It's alright, take your time. If you need to change anything, we can do that at any point. Even if we end the phone call today and you think, oh, I should have said that. Just give me a call, it's not a problem, okay?
Okay.
So, were they always foster care settings, and was it one or two or... So, did you stay in any care homes?
No, I wasn't in any care homes. I think when I went and left foster care, I was put into a respite carer. I was put in a couple of respite carers, so I went and stayed with a few different people before I ended up in the main one, which was Mary and Billy's.
Was that foster care as well?
Yeah, it's like respite care, so they're not actually foster carers. They just keep you until a foster carer can look after you.
Right, okay. And do you remember any details for them at all?
No, not really. I was only there for a couple of weeks each time.
Okay. And it was all under Glasgow Council, was it?
Yeah.
And it wasn't under... Because obviously when you were placed in care, you was in North Ayrshire, I think.
Yeah, in North Ayrshire, so that's obviously just where I lived. I was still with Glasgow Social Work.
Okay, so you were under local authority, okay.
Yeah, I was still always with Glasgow Social Work until, obviously, I didn't have social work involvement anymore, but I was always with the Glasgow one.
Right, okay. And what schools did you attend?
When I left my dad, like when I got put into foster care, or before
yeah.
that.
When you were in foster care, yeah.
I was in Royal Academy.
And whereabouts is that?
In Irvine, that's in North Ayrshire too.
Irvine, is it?
Yeah.
How do you spell that? Is it IV? IRVINE?
IRVINE, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Let's watch if I've got the right spelling. Did you go to any other schools or was that the only one?
That was the only one.
Okay. And who is your registered GP surgery?
It's Booker Hill Medical Practice. So it's BOURTREEHILL and then Medical Practice.
Long name, isn't it?
I know. I know.
Must have filling that in the forms all the time. They always
My kids will get a form sent home and every have permission to do things. I have to write it every single time it's
going. It probably does just only fit into the boxes as well.
I guess it does.
Do you have any other professional support in you, like social care, occupational health or anything like that?
It doesn't support. No, not really. I'm on medication for my anxiety, and I've been in Houston before, but I'm restarting it with Wellbeing Scotland, so I've got an appointment next Wednesday, I think, for my first counselling session.
Let me just put that down. So you mentioned that you've got anxiety. Have you got any other mental health diagnoses?
Yeah, I've got borderline personality disorder.
Okay. And do you understand that diagnosis?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's good evidence, obviously, for your case as well.
Yeah, I've got, I think I was diagnosed about 10 years ago, but they call it emotionally unstable personality disorder. It's just basically all borderline personality disorder, I think.
It's all the same, yeah.
Yeah,
it's basically two different names for the same personality disorder. There's about, I think there's 12 personality disorders in
order.
But as time goes on, I'm sure they'll find some more. So, have you ever done any self-harm?
Yes.
And what was it and where was it?
I think I've been hospitalised twice when I was in my teenage years, which was an overdose the first time. So I was in the hospital for quite a couple of weeks, I think. I've also just harmed my wrists and my legs and stuff like that.
Did it have him?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it medication overdose?
Yeah, it was just anything that I could find in the medicine box. I'm not entirely sure. I think it was mostly paracetamol, but it was just anything that I could find.
It's that cry for help, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry you went through all of that. So, did you get some support for that?
I can't actually remember properly. Obviously, it was quite some time ago, but my foster parents weren't obviously supportive at all. They basically just gave me into trouble for doing it instead of giving me support. So, I can't remember having support, to be honest.
Okay. Foster parents punished you, yeah?
Yeah.
You mentioned cutting your legs and arms. Did you do anything else to self-harm, like burning or picking your skin or anything else?
Yeah, I remember sometimes smashing mirrors and stuff over my head. I've got a scar on my nose from smashing a mirror on my head when I was younger. And I also did, I would burn myself with the cigarettes sometimes as well.
Okay. Is that all on your medical record?
I'm not sure. I know that it does say on my medical records about trying to end my life, deliberately, but
yeah.
I don't think the scars and stuff was in with that.
Okay. So, obviously, you've made attempts to end your life as a teenager. You tell me about them.
Yeah.
Thoughts of ending life, when did they start?
As long as I can remember, when I was a kid, really.
What age was that? Can you remember?
Yeah, probably about 10 or 11.
Okay. And do you still experience this today? Or is that something that's resolved?
Yeah, I do. I still think about suicide a lot, but I don't act on it. Like, I've got children, which I wouldn't do that to them, but the thoughts are still there. I don't know, I think they always will be.
And you know where to access support?
Yeah, they'll be in Scotland and actually just off the phone, so I'm actually booked in with them soon, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's good. So you mentioned that you've had counselling before. How long ago was that?
I'm not sure. The last thing that I went to was called cognitive behavioural therapy, but my anxiety was really bad because it was group sessions. I really don't like being in group settings. It makes me like go into survival mode or something, like I really don't like it. So I think I only lasted like 3 sessions with the cognitive behavioural therapy, but I think that was like 4 or 5 years ago.
It's difficult when you've got your own needs that you need to worry about. Yeah. Trying to learn the new strategies, but they stick you in a group setting.
I felt like most of the time it wasn't the actual counsellor speaking, it was like the people in the group, because they were obviously, they had been, most of them had borderline personality disorders as well, so
it was
chaotic, I'm not going to lie, like I really didn't enjoy it.
It's fine, you don't need to, you know, say anything, I completely understand. I'm pleased that you've got this other counselling starting, so hopefully, fingers crossed, that'll be a good session for you, because it's going to be one-to-one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so, do you have any physical health?
No, apart from the physical signs from anxiety, I'm okay, physically.
And do you remember going to hospital when you were in care?
Yeah. I remember my foster dad putting me in the back of the car, which I feel like is a bit weird, because I felt like I probably needed an ambulance.
Is that when you were, and that's when you took the overdose?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other times, was there any operations or broken bones or anything?
No, there wasn't.
Okay. And do you provide us consent to access your records? So
yeah.
That'd be from like all the people that we spoke about today, so GP, social care, you can contact Wellbeing Scotland as well to obviously see that you've gone in for sessions. Is that okay?
Absolutely, yes.
Brilliant, thank you. Have you ever been arrested or had any convictions?
Yeah, I do. I've got quite a few convictions from, obviously mostly when I was younger because I was getting vulnerable and so there's quite a lot on it.
What I can do is I can write them all down. It's more evidence towards your case in terms of the local authority being the parent in authority and support that you received. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so should we start with the first one that you can remember?
I'll just find it quickly to the second because it's on my phone. Yep, so the first one is dated the 16th of the 3rd, 2016, and it's an assault charge.
How old would you have been then?
Right, for 2016, I'm assuming I was like 11 in 2003, so...
In your 20s, were you? Am I having that up wrong?
I don't actually know. To be patient, so I need to try and calculate it. I'm absolutely terrible.
I'm going to try the calculator as well because it's not easy to calculate, is it, in our minds?
No, it's too confusing calculator, so...
25. You were 25.
I'm so sure that I got charges before that because I was definitely in jail cells a lot when I was a teenager, so...
Shall I say that you
That must have been the second, because the first charge was actually 2011.
Okay, so 2011, what was that one for?
It says theft.
2011, 5 years before that. So 20 years old?
Possible.
OK, Okay. Anything else?
The 14th of the fog 2012 was a, I don't even know what that actually means. It just says Criminal Justice and Licensing Act.
Criminal Justice and Licensing Act.
Yeah, it says that I've got a £60 fine for that. I don't know what that means.
Let me just Google that and I'll let you know what it is. One sec.
Okay, folks.
Criminal Justice and Licensing Act.
It says section 38.
So there's Criminal Justice Act 2003. That's not just written down, is it?
No, it just says Criminal Justice and Licensing Scotland Act. Oh, it says 2010. What is
Criminal Justice and License Act 2010, yeah? Is it section 38?
Yeah.
Is it threatening or abusive behaviour?
It could have possibly been, yeah.
Okay, I'll put that down. So I've got Criminal Justice and Licensing Act of 2010. Section 38 is threatening or abusive behaviour.
Yeah, that would probably be towards the police because I used to run away a lot and then they would obviously come and get me, so.
Okay, I'll put towards the police. So you would have been 21? 21?
Okay.
At that age? 2012? Is that right?
I don't know. Yeah, 21, yeah.
Yeah, so towards the police due to running away and being collected, wasn't it? So you were still in care at 21?
Oh no, sorry, that doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know why, I don't know about that charge. I'm obviously thinking way before that when I used to run away from foster care, but I left foster care when I was 16, so that couldn't have been that, but I don't know who's the threatening and abusive behaviour towards them. I have no idea.
Right, let me take that bit out. So, if I put in, as a teenager, is it teenagers?
Yeah.
Was picked up by the police for running away.
Of course, I feel you.
Did they charge you with anything?
I don't think so, because obviously I was underage, but it would be like regularly I would run away from my foster parents due to the abuse, so they would always just phone the police and the police would just take me back to them.
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I've actually just heard through Facebook that my foster mum, I don't like calling her that, Mary, she actually passed away on Sunday. So that was a bit of a, I don't know, like I was like, because I didn't think that she, I thought she had long legs. Obviously I've not spoke to her, but actually it's quite a shock.
And have you accessed support for that?
No, I don't need support, it's just like a bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm fine.
If you do need support for that, obviously speak to your GP or you've got, is it Wellbeing Scotland coming up?
Yeah, I do.
They're your safe spaces to have a chat, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you smoke?
No, I'm not a smoker, no. I don't know, if I am, like, if I have a drink, then I'll smoke. But I'm not an active smoker.
When did you start drinking?
What, sorry?
When did you start drinking?
Oh, when did I start drinking? When I was, like,
yeah.
12, maybe.
Okay. And then, you still drinking now?
No, we're maybe like a bottle of wine at the weekend.
Now, but... Did it ever become a problem?
And it was a big problem for me drinking before I had my children and stuff, drinking drugs.
And it stopped when you had your kids?
Yeah. I've still got another few criminal charges on my record, just in case you want to write them down.
Oh yeah, I can write them down in a second, I'll just finish this bit.
Yep.
You mentioned some drugs. What age did you start that?
I think I was 13, 14. It was like ecstasy, cocaine, moonshine, MDMA, just anything to numb out what I'm feeling, basically.
Okay. And when did you stop the drugs? Was that when you were having children?
Yeah, when I became a mum, obviously I've changed like drastically, but my mental health's still really bad.
Yeah. Should we put in your conviction? Sorry. You've given me three convictions.
So I gave you the 2016 assault. There was another assault on 2017.
Yeah.
And then there's two road traffic acts, but they're actually quite recent. They were 2022.
Have you got convictions for them?
Yeah, I got fines and I got 6 points on my licence.
Okay, so what years were they?
What ones, sorry, the road traffic?
Yeah, what years were they?
They were 2022.
Both of them?
Yeah, they were the same day. It was the same act that I done because I drove without a licence or insurance. I think it was like the day before or whatever, I had just failed my driving test. And I had got my card and I had to go into the town. And I thought that I was able to drive it, like practice, but obviously I wasn't. I got stopped the police.
So, can I put that down? So you thought you could drive on your own, yeah?
Yeah, but there's someone in the passenger seat with me, and I thought because if you have a driver with you in the passenger seat, then it's okay, but it wasn't.
Okay, so drive with a passenger. Over 21, were they?
Yeah, but they hadn't had their license for long enough for it to be okay, but I didn't know that.
And you weren't insured?
No, I wasn't insured.
Because that could be a deficit, in like your learning as you're growing up.
So yeah.
That might be some evidence that we could use towards, your claim.
Yeah.
So that's good that you've explained that. Have I missed anything? I'm just going to go back up. No, that's all good. Okay, what age did you leave care?
Well, I was 16. I think I'm 16 or 17. I think it was 16.
Okay. And did you get offered any support after this age?
No. I just went straight into a homeless unit, and then I got given my own house, which was crazy for a child to have a house at that age.
And going forward with MMA, legal, would you prefer a male or a female advisor to support you through the journey?
Female, if possible, thanks.
Okay, so it will be myself then. Obviously, you've explained quite a lot to me already, so I already know all that information and I've written it all down. Would you like to get a copy of the care records that we get?
Yes, I should, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what we will do is, it's going to take about 10 months for this process. I'll be your monitor of contact, So if you save my number in your phone, you can give me a call at any point. What we're going to do now is just gather some evidence towards your case. So that's doing subject access requests like the GP surgery, foster care, from the local authority, get everything that we can to evidence your claim.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll gather it all together, we'll go through that together, check it all, and then we'll put that towards the panel for Scottish redress.
Okay.
Then they'll do a panel hearing. It's a closed door panel, you don't have to attend that, but we will let you know what date that will be.
Okay.
So as part of our compliance, I know you've probably already heard these options, but I need to make sure that you're clear and understand them, and obviously the call's recorded. So to do Scottish redress, you are able to do this independently and gather your own evidence. You can access other solicitors from England and Scotland who may have accepted a fee of £2,000, on your behalf from Scottish redress. They will get that fee whether they win or lose for you. And then there's ourselves who can act for you. But we've opted out of the fee for Scottish redress, and we only take a 20% cut fee, and that's only if you win. So if you lose, we don't charge you anything. So it means that we're completely independent and we're actually acting for you.
What is it?
So are you happy to proceed with us?
Yes.
Okay, lovely, thank you. So you're entitled to a 14-day cooling off period. Are you happy to wait for the 14 days, or would you like us to proceed immediately?
Yeah, just proceed immediately.
Okay. Oh, helps if I can spell today. So, do you have any questions for me?
No, just, like, I haven't spoke much about, like, what my foster parents actually does. Like, well, who do I speak to that about? Because I've assumed that helps the process.
Did you not speak to somebody prior to me?
Yeah, I did, but I don't know if we like, went right into it. Like, I don't know if it's, like, seeing you off this morning, you're like, well, I should have said this, I should have said that, but I could obviously just message me about it.
Let me save this, because we save every single note on our system. Let me go into, we've got a statement section. Okay. Do you want me to read it over the phone now? So it says, I was placed in and out of care from a very young age. My memories from early childhood are vague and fragmented, but I clearly remember instability, fear and not feeling safe. When I was around 8 years old, my mother died. Her death devastated me. I was a child and did not understand how to process such a huge loss. Instead of being comforted and protected, my life became even more traumatic. After my mum died, I was sexually abused and physically beaten in my father's home. I was living in fear and confusion. There was no protection for me, no guidance, and no one I could trust. I felt completely powerless. Do you want me to continue? Are you okay?
Yeah.
When I was 11 years old, I was removed from my father's care and placed into foster care with Mr. William Billy Wilson and Mrs. Mary Wilson. Know the name. I might get this wrong. They lived in Seagate area of Irvine, and their home was in Castle Place. I remained in their care until I turned 16 years old. Being placed there was one of the worst periods of my life. I had already been abused at home, and instead of receiving care, understanding and support, I felt traumatised as a child, placed in a house where I felt unwanted from the beginning. From early on, I was secluded and isolated. I was frequently sent to my bedroom and kept there away from the rest of the family. I was not included in the normal family life. I could hear them downstairs laughing, enjoying themselves, especially on summer days while I was locked in my room. There was no playtime, no free time, no sense of belonging. I was given chores and then sent straight back to my room. It felt like a punishment just existing there. While living there, I met a girl, Karina, who was younger than me. We became very close. We were like sisters. We protected each other because we both experienced the same seclusion exclusion. We were kept separate from the rest of the household and treated differently from the Wilson's biological children. Mr. and Mrs. Wilson had twin sons, Craig Wilson and Darren Wilson. They made it clear that we were not their real family, and we were constantly reminded that we did not belong. They would not include us in activities and would laugh at us. We were singled out and treated as outsiders. Mr. and Mrs. Wilson witnessed this behaviour and allowed it to continue. Looking back now, I question whether they encouraged that treatment towards us. Food was used as control. Many times Chloe and I were sent to bed hungry. We were not given proper meals. Some days we were denied food completely. Other times we were made to eat leftovers with no choice. We were children and we were starving. We had no control and no voice. We were often locked in our bedroom, away from the rest of the family. It felt like imprisonment. Even during holidays, birthdays and Christmas, we were not treated as part of the family. We were made to sit separately and watch them enter their presence, celebrate and act a happy family while we were excluded. As a child, that emotional rejection cut deeply. I felt unwanted, invisible and worthless. Are you okay?
Just I'm fine, there's probably some things that I've missed out, like, the one thing that my foster mum would do a lot is accuse us of things that we hadn't done. And I think that's where my severe anxiety comes from, because me and my sister would always, like, believe that we're going to get accused of something that we've not done again. So I don't know if I mentioned that in it.
Shall I read the rest and see if it's in there?
Yeah.
There was also neglect in basic care. I did not have proper clothing. I wore the same ill-fitting clothes repeatedly, including underwear. I was not properly taught hygiene. When I once asked Miss Wilson for help regarding hygiene, she made me feel stupid and ashamed. After that, she began calling me a bitch, and Miss Wilson called me a slut. I was subjected to vile and degrading names daily. The name calling was constant. I was mocked, tormented and humiliated. If I tried to stand up for myself or ask him to stop, Mr. Wilson would restrain me physically. The restraints were painful and left me physical pain for days afterwards. I was frightened of him. I learned quickly that speaking up led to punishment. So I stopped speaking. I stayed in my room to avoid confrontation. They would threaten me regularly. They would tell me that if I did not stay in my room and kept quiet, I would be sent back home to be abused again or closer with another family who would treat me even worse. As a child who had already experienced abuse, those threats terrified me. I felt blackmailed and constantly frightened. I believed them. I felt trapped. There was no emotional support, no affection, no reassurance, no sense of safety. I was already traumatised from sexual and physical abuse before entering foster care, and instead of being helped to heal, I was further neglected, emotionally abused, isolated, starved, humiliated, and physically restrained. The cumulative impact of this abuse has affected me throughout my life. I have struggled to deal with my mental health. I suffer from anxiety and symptoms consistent with post-traumatic stress. I experience intrusive memories, emotional triggers, and difficulty trusting people. I've always felt different, damaged, and unworthy. I struggle with feelings of rejection and abandonment. I find it difficult to form healthy attachments because I learned from a young age that adults were meant to protect me, could not be trusted. I often felt hypervigilant and on edge. Raised voices or conflict can trigger intense anxiety. I have experienced low self-esteem for most of my life due to being called degrading names such as bitch and slut when I was just a child. Those words stayed with me. They shaped how I saw myself. The isolation I experienced has made me withdraw at times. I struggle socially and often feel like an outsider even now. I carry deep feelings of shame that began in the household. I have never felt fully safe or secure. Being abused at home after my mother's death and then experiencing further abuse and neglect in foster care has left lasting psychological scars. Instead of being protected, I was re-traumatised in a system that was meant to safeguard me. I was a vulnerable child who needed safety, care and understanding. Instead, I experienced seclusion, hunger, humiliation and threats, restraints and emotional cruelty. These experiences have had lifelong impact on my mental health and well-being, and I never have been the same since.
Yeah, that's bang on.
Happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Can you add to it, or does it have to? Because the borderline personality, is that actually written down on your part?
So, when we get your medical records,
yeah.
When we get everything, we'll assess everything, and if there's more information, it will then go in. So personality disorders come from trauma of childhood.
Yeah.
You've explained how you've got that trauma from the personal statement, but to evidence that, you've now been given a diagnosis,
and yeah. Right places for them backups, obviously, what
yeah.
happened. So it's about us gathering it all together and then putting it together in a legal framework as such.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Is that all right?
Yeah,
you're okay after having...
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to check that you was okay. But if you do need any support, obviously there's crisis lines and you've got Wellbeing Scotland, haven't you, as well?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so that's everything from me today. So if you do have any other questions, this is my number. You can give me a call.
Is it the number 0161, is that number?
Yeah, although I'm not in Manchester, and I don't sound like I'm from Manchester either. But yeah, that's the number that will come through to me. So it's my direct line. If I don't answer, usually that's because I'm on the phone, but I can see when your number appears and I can give you a call back.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. What's your name again, sorry?
It's Natalie.
Natalie, right, that's fine.
Lovely. So thank you very much for today, and we'll be in touch soon.
Okay, thanks, Natalie. Speak soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.